We will be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet,
I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.
And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message.
After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ready or not, here comes Randy, and we'll hear, ready or not, here comes God.
Thank you. Ready or not. Good morning. 2 weekends ago, I was in a cabin in Bedford, Pennsylvania with my family. And family cabin getaways are different now because there's 2 kids in the family. So before, when we might watch What About Bob, now we watch Ice Age. And before, when we might, you know, play Scrabble, now we play Hide and Go Seek. And the list goes on. So things are changing, but it's good. It's a joy. But anyway, so we decide to play hide and go seek, and so we hide around the cabin and, you know, try to, like, look a little longer. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, ready or not, here I come. We go around, try to find them, and Autumn's, like, hiding. You can clearly see where she's at, but you try to look a little longer so that she can hide a little longer. But then eventually, everyone wants to be found. Well, my brother found this spot to hide, and I was the one looking, and I absolutely could not find him. He was hidden away in this cupboard so well, like this, just scrunched up, and I was probably looking for 10 minutes, and he didn't come out. I was like, I finally just had to give up. I don't know where you're at, Mike. Come out. But it was a fun game of hide and seek. This morning we have a text where people are been hiding for a very long time. And when people have been waiting to be found. And we have someone crying out, don't hide anymore, because this God is coming to find you. But in order to understand this text this morning out of Mark, we really need to go back to the Isaiah text first so we can understand a little bit more of the history and context of what's going on here. So if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 40, before we get into Mark 1, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 first. I'm just going to read a part of this, starting in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, this is a people who have been waiting and waiting and waiting 40 years in the wilderness, waiting for the promised land. And here is the prophet Isaiah saying, finally, your wait is over. Your wait is over. prepare the way of the Lord. And so we can see for then in this, in Mark, Mark is clearly referring back to this Isaiah passage. And here he is, he's saying again, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Messiah. And this is a new beginning, though. Mark opens this gospel in such an amazing way. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark wants to tell us about the beginning of a new era, a time and place in which God has entered human history in a completely unprecedented way. This is, in some ways, this is the inauguration of the kingdom of God that Mark is talking about here. This is gospel. It's good news. Probably Mark, when he wrote the beginning of the good news, he didn't realize he was actually starting a term, gospel, that would be used in other gospels as well. So Mark's really the first one to coin this term, the good news. And that's what Advent should be. It should be good news. Last week, I talked a little bit about how Advent and thinking about Christ's second coming isn't a time of fear and defensiveness, but more of good news and open vulnerability. And so Mark opens with that this morning. This is good news. One of the most interesting things in this 1-8 is we see John the Baptizer baptizing. And where is he baptizing? Did anybody take note of that? He's baptizing in the Jordan. And what would be significant about the Jordan River if we look back to this Isaiah text? The Jordan is the same river that these Israelites have been traveling for 40 years. The Jordan is where they get to cross into Canaan. And so the Jordan River has a lot of significance for Israel, the people who know their history. They know that their ancestors crossed the Jordan to get into the promised land of Canaan. So what might the Jordan River represent here? Why is John the Baptist here? Well, I think part of what John the Baptizer is saying is that prepare the way for this Messiah. But this isn't going to be the Messiah that you might be expecting. This is a Messiah that represents new life. And that's really what the Jordan represented in some ways for the Israelites, traveling 40 years in the wilderness. They get to the Jordan, they cross through, and then they had this new life in the promised land of Canaan. Ready or not, here God comes. What kind of God was the audience that Mark is talking to expecting? Some of us might have heard of the Essene Jews. And the Essenes were really looking for a victorious, calm, riding on your white horse, military God. And really, probably, there is a good amount of Israel that was really hoping for that kind of God. A militaristic God that would free them from the grip of Rome. But John prepares us for a different kind of Messiah. This Messiah is not about defeating Rome or bringing freedom for Israel, but it's a Messiah who calls us to love and repentance, confession of sins, service to others. And maybe that's why this baptism is so significant. John the Baptizer, in verse 4, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. It's really upside down. Here's people expecting a Messiah to be coming who's going to bring them political freedom. And here's John the Baptizer saying, no, actually, confess your sins. Repent. Follow this Messiah. It's going to be good news in the end, because the weak will be made strong, the lowly will be brought up, and the last shall be first. Ready or not, here God comes. And see, that's the thing. A lot of these people weren't ready. And a lot of us still probably aren't completely ready for just what this arrival of God and God's kingdom could really mean for us and how it could shake us up. But this announcement in Mark chapter 1 and in Isaiah chapter 40, both Isaiah and Mark, the announcement is gracious with only the dimmest echo of warning. I don't think Isaiah, John, or Mark intended to say, God's going to come to those who are ready, and those who are not are left out. That's sometimes the narrative that we hear. It's a narrative of fear. I think the accent here is simply on God's imminent, certain advent, though such an announcement obviously calls for response. It's not, well, if you're not ready, you're out. It's, get ready. God's coming. God is coming. This is good news. So what can we do to get ready? Well, John says, confess your sins. One of the things I appreciate about Catholic liturgy is that they have a time in every service for confession of sins. We don't do that quite as much in the Anabaptist tradition, but boy, that's powerful. But what does confession take? It takes a lot of vulnerability. How often do we confess our sins to one another? Repent. Get baptized. Start to follow Jesus' teachings. Love everyone. In fact, love even your enemies. I'm adding things that we're find later on in Mark. We don't see all of that in the first chapter here. And Mark adds in 1 chapter 15, believe in the good news. God will come and fulfill all of God's promises, whether or not we do any of those things. That's the thing. It's not like if all of Whitmer Heights would stop doing confession of sins or repentance or following Jesus, that all of a sudden God's plan is done. Like, if we're not ready, God's still going to come. But God's calling us to be ready. God will come and fulfill all of God's promises, whether or not we do any of these things. But knowing God is on the way, why wouldn't we want to do them? When I think about the game Hide and Go Seek that I played 2 weeks ago, I can't help but see part of this Advent story in that simple game. Ready or not, here I come. The game's really kind of interesting from a psychological point of view. Nobody wants to be hiding for 20 minutes, waiting. Oh, I hope they don't find me. I hope they don't find me. Like, after like a little while, you're kind of like, it's kind of getting lonely here. I hope they find me eventually. I don't know why my brother hid for 10 minutes. But it's interesting. The game is hide and go seek, and the point is see how long you can hide, but everyone wants to be found. We all want to be found. Hiding really isn't that much fun if you're never found. And if you ask most children, do you want to sit somewhere all by yourself and keep quiet for a very long time, you're probably not going to get very many takers. The point of the game is, hey, you found me! And so when Advent comes around this year, we're reminded that God is coming to find us. And yeah, we have our ways of hiding. I have my ways of hiding. But on Advent, when John the Baptist shouts, prepare the way of the Lord, it is as though God has just called, ready or not, here I come. And remember, this is the God who always finds us. Last week, I encouraged us to take the posture of the cross during Advent. Being open, vulnerable, self-giving up. And I, again, reminded of the open hands and this posture of expectant waiting. This week, as we consider the theme, "Oh, that you would reveal your peace." And we see the image of the hands embracing each other. And reminded of the hands of hope from last week. Where is God's peace being revealed in our lives here? Where do we see God working to bring peace in ourselves, our families, in our jobs, in our church, in our community, in creation itself? How have we been hiding from God's peace? How is God's peace breaking through? Ready or not, here God comes. As I think about what's going on right now in our world, and hiding from God's inbreaking kingdom, I can't help but think about some of the things going on in Ferguson, in New York City. And the pulpit isn't a place to talk about politics. I fully realize that. But this is a place for the church to say, who are we in the midst of injustice? And who is God calling us to be? And the Mennonite Church USA Executive Board also had a response during this time of Ferguson. And I just want to read that. We're talking about peace this morning. We're talking about Advent and God's coming. And us kind of aware that it's not fully realized yet. We're kind of in this time of just, oh, that you would reveal your peace. But we can't help but name the injustices around us. And so in response to the ongoing events in Ferguson, Missouri, and ongoing realities of racial inequality and injustice, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. And then this response continues. Make me seek peace within ourselves. May we respond to opportunities to be instruments of peace and reconciliation in our communities, and instruments of transformation in the systems we are a part of and the processes we can influence. When a spirit of fear is governing our behavior, may the spirit of love cast it out, so that we would truly see the face of God in each other, on earth as it is in heaven. May God bring healing and hope to the community of Ferguson and to the communities all across our nation who mourn similar tragedies, and comfort to those who grieve. And then I also think of a pastor in North Carolina, Isaac Viegas, Chapel Hill Mennonite, who says he saw one of his former students at a Black Lives Matter protest in North Carolina. And this student was also a pastor who was preaching on the Advent text this morning. And he said he had to preach on John the Baptist this week. So of course he had to join the crowds blocking the streets in downtown Durham, chanting, "Shut it down! Hands up, don't shoot, we can't breathe." Or in the words of the Bible passage assigned for Sunday, all the voices crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." Whether we agree or not with some of the protests or the whole situation, God's calling us to love. God's calling us to prepare the way for the Lord. So ready or not, here God comes. Let's make sure we aren't hiding this morning. Amen.